You're listening to sermon audio from Gospelite Baptist Church. For more resources or to donate to this ministry, please visit gospelite.org.
Hey, we have had a blast in this series. It's been fun. As Joshua said, it's been, how does he say it? It's been real. It's been fun. It's been real fun. I'll get it one day. All right. I'm getting close, but it's been fun. So I've enjoyed this. If you've missed it, what we've been in for the past 4 weeks is a six week sermon series on empowered to serve, with the emphasis being on spiritual gifts. And we've had a blast. We started off the series entitled God, the Giver of Gifts. It was pretty cool because we discovered that God is the one who actually gives the gift. God, the Holy Spirit, gives these gifts to us. Now, initially, there's the most important, beautiful, amazing, powerful, life-changing gift called salvation. But when you receive the gift of salvation, which for me, distinctly I remember, it was September the 1st, 1978. I was a Roman Catholic altar boy, had religion, but didn't have a relationship with Christ. And I was introduced to Jesus, and my life was radically changed in that moment. But over time, I began to realize that that's just the beginning, that it doesn't end with the gift of salvation. That's just the first gift you get. The Holy Spirit then comes inside of you, which is really cool, and he empowers you and gives you gifts. And we've been learning what those gifts are. Secondly, we talked about, let's unwrap the gift. And we have found in modern times that the best way to unwrap a gift is to take a spiritual gifts test. Doesn't mean that you have to do it, but it does usually really shock you when you finish by saying, wow, how's that so accurate, you know? And these have been, of course, worked on, and we designed this one just for our church family. If you've not taken it yet, I encourage you to call the church and take, there may be a few in the back, I'm not sure if there's any left, but we've given away hundreds of these, and it's been exciting. We've taken the spiritual gifts test, which has helped us to kind of discover how God has wired us. What is the primary, maybe the secondary gift? And you may have some questions as you take the gifts test. A lot of you have, and we've answered those and helped you to understand that sometimes you could have several that are pretty high, but one usually kind of rises above the rest and teaches us more about ourselves and what the Holy Spirit has given us. So we unwrap the gifts. Then I provided some cards. If you remember sermon number 3, we talked about gifts that build the church. The fact that every gift that we have been given, uniquely given by divine design, by God, was so that you could fit inside the church to where if you don't do it, it just won't get done like you could. I mean, you're so special, so important, so needed. That's the truth. That everybody, and of course, Scripture gives these examples of, you know, the eye needs the ear, and the ear needs the hands, and the hands need the feet. I mean, all these parts are all essential to our bodies created by God. Such is the body of Christ. We need those with the gift of mercy, the gift of exhorting, the gift of leading, the gift of giving, the gift of teaching, the gift of prophecy, the gift of service. And as you received these cards the past couple of weeks, it's been a beautiful thing to watch people come to the altar and get their card and go back to their seat and really start seeing just how important you are to the body of Christ. And then we discovered that sometimes the old gift needs to be stirred up. We just need to, we've been sitting a little bit too long. We've kind of gotten used to it. And before long, we find ourselves maybe not in a place where we're really excited about the gift, and we just need to stir up the gift that's in us and get involved again. And so we provided these cards last week, and this gave us an opportunity in real time to say, wow, there's a lot of opportunities to serve here in my church. Now today, I want to shift the focus slightly from all this energy and excitement that I've been sincerely exuding in these messages, because I think this is so cool. I've loved it. I've enjoyed it. It's been fun. It hasn't been a heavy series to me. It's been a fun series, very scriptural, biblical. We've been in the text. We've showed a lot of scripture. But today I want to shift it slightly. So I've really prayed that the Holy Spirit would help my tone to be correct, that my approach, that my voice would be compassionate this morning as we address something that I think is not just how we have been empowered to serve, but how to protect what God is doing in our lives. I think so often we forget that the devil, the enemy, is real. And he comes to, and he seeks to destroy us, to kill us, to steal from us. He wants to take the gift, the spiritual gift that God has placed inside of you. And he wants to squelch it, to destroy it, to keep you unengaged in the body of Christ. And I've noticed something in pastoring the same church for 34, almost 34. In fact, in 3 weeks, I will have pastored this church for 34 years. That if we're not careful, especially during busy seasons, holiday seasons, or distracted seasons, summer seasons, we can slowly lose our spiritual sharpness. We just drift. We have a tendency to drift. I mean, I think this is something that we all probably have experienced at some point in our lives. So for this reason, I am calling this message, Handle Your Gift with Care. Protect the power. Protect the power. The work of the Holy Spirit is so precious in our lives, isn't it? Isn't it precious to see God move and work? I love it. I don't want to miss any of it. This morning, especially in the first service, being a part of the prayer time and the worship time in real time, and I was a part of the worship over at Park Place as well, but it's special and sweet to see, like when I walked in, seeing all these people up front with their hands up in the air, I'm thinking, that is so beautiful. I mean, the Holy Spirit moves in us to sometimes express our love for Him in ways that is so precious. Would you not agree? Every time we baptize, it's precious, isn't it? It means God is working. God is moving. I don't want to ever get like, oh, we got baptisms today. Whew. All right, well, I guess that means the service is going to be longer. Ooh. Eric, are you not sensitive to what God's doing around here? Are you reading me? So what I'm saying is we want to remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And that spiritual sharpness is so important. And so Paul warns us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, look at this, don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. Don't grieve His Spirit. Think about that for just a moment. The Bible says it's possible to grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, something we need to understand together, just a little theology here, is the Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Very good. He's a person. He's relational. He lives inside you. He loves you. He convicts you. 2 weeks ago when my mother passed away, guess what he did? He comforted me. He's so sweet. He came real close and he snuggled up to me. And he says, Eric, your mama's with me. It's okay. And I'm like, oh, that's so good. I've got the promises of God's word. I think I'll stand on the promises, as the old song says. Right? Isn't the Holy Spirit? He teaches me. Sometimes I'll be reading the word and the Holy Spirit of God will show me something I've never seen before. Thank you. Thank you, God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers you. And because He is relational, our response to the Holy Spirit matters. It's important. Think about it. You only grieve deeply over something you love deeply. The Holy Spirit grieves over us because He loves us so much. And the incredible truth here this morning is that the Holy Spirit loves you enough to be grieved. He loves you enough to be grieved when bitterness, when pride, or spiritual drift begins to pull you away from the life that God created you to live. And that's what this whole series has been about. That God has created you to live an abundant life using a gift, a spiritual gift, to impact, for impact, to change lives. Yes, you. You have inside of you a unique gift, designed by a divine God who loves you so much that He has an incredible plan to use you. Now, this message this morning is not about condemnation. Oh, my. I do not want this at all to be about condemnation. My desire is that it would be about closeness. That we would just feel as if Pastor preached that message just so I could draw closer to God. No condemnation. Oh, we're going to touch on some things that, as Josh mentioned a moment ago, maybe a little convicting for me too, by the way. Guess what? Pastors have to be convicted first. It's hard. You know what I've often said, you've heard me say it, if you've been a part of our church for any long period of time, if a pastor's not convicted by his own message, he probably doesn't need to be preaching it. We need to be convicted by the Holy Spirit as we preach. I've not arrived. I don't think I've ever preached one sermon, including this one, where I feel like I'm glad I can preach this because I don't need it. No, I think I probably need it as much or more than anyone in the room. And so let's talk about closeness. Because Jesus did not die so that you could barely survive spiritually. He died so that you could live empowered. And one of the greatest ways to stay spiritually healthy is to remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. And so that's our goal this morning. Three practical ways to help you protect the power of God so that this year we continue to learn how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit from on high. It's going to be amazing. It's been an amazing year, and I really believe the best is yet to come. Number one, protect your perspective. Guard your mind. Guard what you think. Guard what you put in your mind. Look what Paul writes in Ephesians 4. So powerful. He says this to the audience. But that is not how you came to know Christ. Assuming you heard about him and were taught by him, assuming that you know him as the truth is in Jesus, to take off. Take off your former way of life. You know that old self, remember? The old self that was corrupted by deceitful desires. But now, be renewed in the spirit of your, here it is, church family, your perspective, your minds. Be renewed and put on the new self. There's a change here. There's something happening. The one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. You know what I found? That oftentimes the battle for spiritual strength is often a battle for mental renewal. My mind needs to be renewed by the Spirit for me to win this battle that's going on, it seems, every day. And the enemy knows that if he can influence your thinking, he can influence your direction. He's constantly trying to influence the way you think, what you watch, what you watch on television, what you listen to, what you dwell on, and what you repeatedly feed into your spirit will eventually shape your life. What you've heard this, who you hang around is oftentimes who you become. What you put in your mind will often affect the direction of your life. No wonder the proverb says in chapter 23, verse number 7, for as a man thinks, so is he. You will become how you think. So this is intentional. We must intentionally renew our minds. This is why it's so important that we understand I've got to protect the power within me by changing my perspective and guarding my mind. Because the Holy Spirit always leads us towards truth, always. He never leads us towards a lie. He will always lead us towards the truth of God's word, always. This is how he works. He doesn't trick us. He doesn't manipulate us. He doesn't play games. He leads us. Softly and gently leads us to truth. He leads us towards purity. I mentioned this in the first service, but I talked about my spark huddle yesterday. We were starting to kind of warm up to one another and love one another in a special way, and we're getting more comfortable. It's always a little bit tense at first. The first couple of weeks, you're like, you know, you don't know guys, and you kind of get to know them because, you know, we don't randomly put groups together, but we don't try not to put best friends together. We want people to get to know each other and grow and learn from one another. And it's a beautiful thing, this thing called a spark huddle. But yesterday, for the first time, I saw guys loosening up and actually confessing that, man, I want to be more pure. Would you pray for me? Isn't that cool? It got real. And you know when that happened, here's what I thought. Holy Spirit's at work. You're leading these four yahoos, these knuckleheads. And I'm one of them, by the way. Did you know men can be knuckleheads? Oh, yeah. You're leading us towards purity. Hallelujah. I love it. The Holy Spirit always leads us towards peace, not chaos. He leads us towards wisdom, not worldly wisdom, but godly wisdom. He leads us towards life, and not just life, but what? Abundant life. Hallelujah. But the culture, and I think you would agree, the culture that we live in is constantly pushing us towards distraction. Everything in this culture is trying to distract us from the truth. It leads us towards compromise. Oh my heart is breaking for even God's people and churches and colleges and Christian institutions that are compromising the truth. It's as if they're looking at the Word of God and making it what they want it to be and not what it is. Changing the truth into lies. Compromise. Negativity. This is why oftentimes we're so turned off by the news. Am I right? And I have so many believers tell me, I just don't keep up with things anymore. It's just so negative. It ends up ruining my day. I get it. And I try to keep up with what things are going on. Really, for gospel conversations, it helps me. But at the same time, I agree. There's so much negativity in this world. The culture is pushing us towards comparison and confusion. And this must be why Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, to do not be conformed to this culture. Don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed. Here it is, church family, just to support the text. By the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Change your perspective so that you can discern what is good. Amen. And pleasing. Amen. And even discern the perfect will of God. Let me tell you something about transformation. Transformation starts internally before it's ever seen externally. And that's why Jesus said that sin appears in the heart before it ever appears in behavior. It starts in the heart. Guard your mind. Guard your mind. That means that bitterness and pride and negativity and unforgiveness can all begin grieving the spirit long before it ever is seen in anyone else. It begins to grieve the Holy Spirit. And that's why staying in God's Word matters so much. Amen? It matters. It matters that we stay in God's Word. For Psalm 119, 105 says, and I love this verse, that the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Amen. This morning, the word was a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This morning. Seriously, real time. I won't say his name, but there's somebody sitting in this building. They got a text from me sitting right here, and now he knows it. And I texted him. I said, I really feel like I made a mistake. I said, I got in the Word this morning, and I just feel like there's a change in a direction. And I texted him and said, please forgive me, because I asked him to do some work that was towards something else. But the Holy Spirit clearly was a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I was under such conviction that I knew I had to humble myself, ask forgiveness to someone who technically wasted some of their time on my behalf so that I could do what I knew God wanted me to do. Amen. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes the Spirit of God will illuminate so clearly in our hearts that we know that this is what I need to do, what I need to preach, what I need to sing, whatever it might be. It's such a beautiful thing. The Word of God recalibrates our thinking. Amen? Constantly. It restores perspective. It strengthens our faith. It renews our peace. And this is the one I love the most. It keeps our hearts sensitive to God. I love to read the Word of God because it keeps my heart sensitive. It just constantly reminds me, Eric, have compassion. Eric, be merciful. Eric, and on it goes. This keeps me sensitive to the Spirit. And yet many believers today are mentally overloaded and spiritually underfed. And how does that happen? Constant scrolling on social media. Constant scrolling. Isn't it amazing how seconds turn into minutes so quickly? And then minutes of scrolling turns into a half hour. Has anybody ever scrolled for an hour? Don't admit it. I mean, it's crazy. Scrolling distracts us. We are mentally overloaded and spiritually underfed. I say this in love. I say this to me. You don't even have to listen right now. You can just say, man, I'm glad Eric's preaching to himself. But sometimes if I take a moment to look at social media, there's a moment when I say, I think I've spent more time on social media than I've spent in the Word. And there's moments where I am under such conviction that I am mentally overloaded while I'm spiritually underfed. And has anybody ever gone on a social media fast because of that? I actually think it's helpful sometimes just to completely remove yourself from that which is mentally overloading and focus on being spiritually fed. Constant noise in our lives, constant entertainment and internet, but allowing very little time for God's voice to renew our hearts. And then we wonder why the peace disappears and why spiritual passion weakens. Remember this, church family. What gets your attention eventually gets your direction. If you want to stay empowered by the Holy Spirit, you must constantly renew your mind with the truth of God's word. So number one, protect your perspective, guard your heart. Number two, protect your people, guard your relationships. Didn't I tell you that the Holy Spirit is relational? He's all about relationships. And he's all about your relationship with him and then our relationship with each other. Did you know if you're saved here, I'm your brother? Yeah. JJ and I are brothers. We've never met until today. JJ met today his long lost brother. Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? Every man in the building that is a born again Christian is a brother to that man. And girls, you're my sister. Hey, I guess I need to put you in my will, right? I mean, hey, think it's so beautiful, isn't it? I mean, to an extent, we are in this together. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a beautiful thing. He is relational. He loves us. And so after Paul talks about renewing the mind, he immediately goes into relationships. Look at it, if you would, in Ephesians 4, verse 25. He says, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Put away lying. Speak the truth, each one to his own neighbor. Relationships. Because we are members of one another. We're together. We're a team. We're a church. We're a body. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Did y'all sing, Tell the Devil No, Not Today? Amen. There's your verse. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Tell the devil no, not today. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to do honest work with his hands so that he has something to share with anyone. Relationships. Share with anyone. I had a guy on the way over here. He needed a hotel room tonight. And I could tell, just no doubt, the Holy Spirit, I was walking out of the church into my car, and he stopped me, and he said, hey, I know you're a pastor. Is there any way? I'm out of a place tonight, but I think I've got a plan to get a job tomorrow. No, I knew it, Josh. The Holy Spirit said, get this man a hotel room. I said, come to my house at 1:30. So he'll be at our house at 1:30, I bet. And I said, I'll take you to a hotel, get you a night. Now you say, Pastor, how did you know that? I really believe I can say this. I don't always feel that way. I don't. So don't ask me for a hotel room. I'll only do one a week, okay? I'm going to have 10 hotel rooms in the building today. But I knew it. I knew God said. He had a little baby with him too, and that touched my heart. I'll get you a hotel room if you got a baby with you. I might do that. But I knew God said to do it. And this sensitivity to the Spirit of God, because it involves this family. Share with anyone in need. He was in need, and so I'm going to share. No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. Isn't that beautiful? And so then after he immediately talks about all these relationship practices, that's when he says in the next verse, don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. Now what that tells me is this. That the way we talk to people, the way we speak to people, the way we treat people, the way we respond to people can either honor the Holy Spirit or grieve the Holy Spirit. It's important to the Holy Spirit that we talk to one another in the right way. And then Paul connects grieving the Holy Spirit to this. Look at it. Ephesians 4:31. Next verse. Let all bitterness, anger, wrath, shouting, slander, be removed from you. Take it away. Remove it with all malice. Now, why would he say this? To produce the character of Christ in our lives. Now, understand this, church family, that the truth is that sometimes the greatest spiritual damage does not happen in public, but rather in private conversations. Can I tell you something I've learned about Gospel Light and its congregation? We are very good on Sunday mornings. We're so nice, amen? In public, we look nice, we talk nice, we dress nice. It's amazing. I get it. But what happens when we go home? You've heard me say this. The real Eric Capace is not standing before you. The real Eric Capace lives on 621 3rd Street. How I treat my wife matters. It matters. And nobody here knows better than she how you treat your, I got this in the wrong order, but can you put up there? The way our husbands speak to wives matters. The way parents speak to children matters. The way teenagers respond to parents matters. And the way Christians speak to each other matters. It matters to the Holy Spirit how we speak to one another. Words can either bring life or words can bring damage. This is why the Bible says in Proverbs 18:21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So every conversation that we have is planting someone in something else. We are either encouraging someone or we're discouraging someone. Every time you speak to someone, two things are happening. You're either healing them or you're hurting them. One or the other. How we speak to one another matters. We're either bringing peace to the moment or we're bringing pain to the moment. That's why Paul warns us about sinful anger in Ephesians 4. Again, if I could repeat this, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Let all bitterness, anger, wrath, shouting, slander be removed from you. Now let me insert this, that not all anger is sinful. But anger becomes dangerous when it attacks people instead of addressing problems. Anger becomes dangerous when we go into attack mode. When anger becomes selfish, revengeful, harsh, or uncontrolled, it begins opening doors for the enemy to use us, to destroy us. Unresolved anger becomes an opportunity for Satan to build division and distance and damage. And this is why I'm making such an emphasis that relationships matter so much spiritually. Because you cannot walk closely with God while constantly wounding people with your words and attitude. It won't work. You can't walk close to God while hurting the people he died for. The Holy Spirit wants to build people up, not tear people down. Amen? Amen. It doesn't mean we don't correct people. We can correct. It just means we speak the truth with grace. Amen? We can correct. Sure. I've been here 34 years. Do you know how many times I've needed correction? And I'm still here because you've corrected me in love. Many times someone has said to me, Pastor, I'll never forget. I hadn't told this in a long time, and I've got one more point. I'm almost done. But I remember in this auditorium probably 15 years ago. It's pretty cool. I was having a conversation with a gentleman in the church, and there was about five or six people around me, and I kept interrupting the conversation, and I'll get with you in a minute. Hey. And he really was trying to talk to me about something very important. And finally, he just stopped, and man, I tell you, with the love of Christ, he looked at me and he said, Pastor, can I tell you something? I feel like right now you really don't care enough about me. Seems like you're distracted and with everybody around you. And you just don't have time for me. Can I give you some advice? He was an older guy. I was younger, 15 years. I was 45. He was probably 65. He said, learn to listen when people talk to you. He said, it means so much when they know you hear them. And I began to weep in front of that man. I said, I needed this. I said, I am so easily distracted. I feel guilty because I know others want to talk. And I feel like I'm letting them down. He goes, I get it. But I really need you to listen. It's a beautiful moment. Now, if you'll notice now, I am way better at listening. In fact, sometimes people feel ignored because I'm taking that man's advice because I think he's right. I'm saying that all to say that's just one of about 150 times I've been corrected at Gospel Life, 34 years. I'm better for it. And I didn't get bitter because I needed it because it was done in love. Amen. And when you correct one another in love, it makes all the difference in the world because we do need at times to confront one another, but do it in the right way. The Holy Spirit wants us to build people up, not tear people down. And so Colossians 4:6 says this, let your speech always be gracious, always, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. Amen? So that you may know. The Holy Spirit wants to help us speak better. He wants to help us respond better, forgive faster, encourage more, and reflect Jesus more. more openly and more clearly in the way that we treat others. So I hope that helps. Number one, protect your perspective. Guard your heart. Number two, protect your people. Guard your relationship. Number three, protect your peace. Guard your heart. Let me finish. Paul finishes as well. He finishes this passage by dealing with one of the most dangerous spiritual conditions that anybody can have. And you probably know what I'm going to say. It starts with a B. Anybody want to guess the word? Bitterness. So in order to really make this kind of jump out of the text, I did something. I want to go back to Ephesians 4:31, but I want you to focus on just the words that are highlighted. Let all bitterness, because that's what he started with. I am of the persuasion that everything else comes out of bitterness. That when we become bitter is when anger and wrath and shouting and slander all begin to fester. Let all bitterness be removed from you. Bitterness is dangerous because it rarely starts big. It starts small. That's why the Bible talks about it. Don't let a root of bitterness. It starts small, underground. You can't see it. It starts as hurt or disappointment. It starts as offense. The reason why so many people today are out of church is because of church hurt, bitterness that settled in. Sometimes our expectations are so high of other Christians that when they let us down, we feel as if, you know, that I thought all Christians were this way. Well, no, we're actually human and we make mistakes. Amen. But it is hard sometimes because it begins with unmet expectations or unhealed wounds. And if it's not dealt with properly, it slowly takes root into the heart. That's why Hebrews 12:15 says that make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble and defiling many. Sometimes bitterness can defile our families, our children, our spark huddles, our small groups, even our church family, our businesses, our associates. This is what bitterness does. It spreads. It affects our joy. It affects our peace. It messes with our relationships and our thinking and our worship. All of these things are affected by bitterness. Did you know that you can sit in church physically present while being emotionally poisoned by bitterness? Many come to church. They're here. But they've been poisoned by bitterness. And the frightening thing about bitterness is that many people don't even realize how deeply settled it is in their hearts. They don't even realize it. But there are some very clear signs that help us to understand how it affects people. One of those, I believe, is they become easily irritated. I mean, it's just, doesn't take much to get them riled up. They're constantly defensive. It's always someone else's fault. They're quick to assume the worst. I mean, they just go so fast to a negative place. They're unable to celebrate others because they're carrying so much tension. It's hard to be happy for anybody when you're bitter. Because you kind of want everybody to be bitter too. It makes you feel better when everybody kind of feels the pain. Bitterness hardens what the Holy Spirit is trying to soften. And that's why Paul says in the next verse, to be kind. Be kind, be compassionate to one another. Forgive one another, just as God forgave you in Christ. And let me say this about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not pretending the hurt never happened. Forgiveness is refusing to let the hurt control your future. Forgiveness is not approving what happened. Forgiveness is choosing freedom over captivity. God never intended pain to become a permanent resident in our hearts. Let go of that bitterness. The enemy wants to build walls, and he wants those wounds to become walls, while the Holy Spirit wants those same wounds to become testimonies of healing. Amen? And let's remember our perfect example. Jesus Christ said in Luke 23 and verse 34, Father, forgive them. Hanging on the cross, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. So if Jesus could choose forgiveness in his deepest pain, then through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can choose forgiveness too. Amen? And that forgiveness leads to peace. It leads to healing. It leads to freedom. So choose forgiveness over bitterness. I'd like to ask our worship team to come and get settled in as we sing a beautiful song about the Holy Spirit. Welcome him into this place. Welcome him into our lives. Be set free from the bondage of bitterness this morning. And maybe the Holy Spirit has greatly, gently put his finger on the area of your life that you need to address because he loves you so much that he doesn't want you to drift any farther from him. If you have felt that conviction this morning, we're going to give what we call a response time, an invitation. You know, a lot of churches have kind of abandoned this, and I get it. I mean, not many people make public decisions anymore. I'm not sure why. I think maybe it's an indication that we're just not sensitive like we should be to the Holy Spirit, and we don't need to feel ashamed at all. Amongst brothers and sisters, if someone here needs to be saved or come to the altar and pray, or usually what happens when you come to the altar and pray is someone prays with you. It just happens. It's because we are to come alongside one another and love one another that way. It was a beautiful thing a couple of weeks ago when my mom passed away. I've written probably 25 letters to you, to people in this building, for just you came alongside me and my family in so many ways. It was absolutely amazing. I was comforted by your love. And sometimes we need to experience that same comfort when we're going through something. So if you need to come forward, we want you to know, if that's the response the Holy Spirit is leading you towards, I'm here. We're here. Maybe the response needs to be right where you're seated. Maybe it's a conversation with the person sitting next to you. Maybe it's just a simple prayer. And finally, it could just be that God wants you to stand and sing and worship. But whatever it is, I want you to feel the freedom to respond as the Holy Spirit is leading you to respond. Protect the power. Protect your perspective. Guard your mind. Protect your people. Guard your relationships. And protect your peace. Guard your heart. And maybe we can all pray what David prayed in Psalm 51:10 when he said, God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. A steadfast spirit within me. You know, while I was preparing the message, I was moved in my quiet time with God that I just came up with a little 3-line prayer that I prayed, and I thought I'd share it with you. It's on the screen. And the prayer is this: keep my heart soft, keep my spirit sensitive, and keep me close to you. Because the Holy Spirit is not trying to take something from you. He's trying to protect something in you. So protect your peace, protect your joy, and protect your sensitivity to God. Hey, when's the last time you really felt the sensitivity towards the Holy Spirit like you feel maybe right now? Respond. It's a beautiful thing. I want to pray for us today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? And as we bow our heads and close our eyes and address this more serious direction with the gifts, to protect the power. Next week, I'm going to encourage us to protect something else, one other area that we need to be aware of. I hope you'll return for that. But as we address it this morning, if there's anyone here today that needs to be saved, we encourage you as well to receive the gift of salvation in just a moment. Feel the freedom to come and just confess. Confess your sin. Repent. Trust Christ as your Savior. Father, I love you. I thank you for what you're doing in this place, how you're working and moving. Thank you, God, for the Word of God that really is the tool that really pierces our hearts. It's not the words of a man. It's the Word of God. And so I pray that, Lord, you have spoken through me this morning, but more importantly, God, that your Word has been the discerner of our thoughts and the intentions of our heart, and that, God, you would convict us and, Lord, cause us to make those adjustments in our life to become more sensitive to your Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place to move and work, not just in us, but around us. And for these things, we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand and respond as God has led us to?